We've been married 11 years now.
When it came to extending our living space to the outdoors, compromise wasn't an option.
TimberTech presents another deck declaration.
We're Jim and Jody Branley from Coral Gables, Florida, and I wanted a deck that lasts a lifetime.
I wanted something that looks great.
With TimberTech, neither one of us had to compromise. It comes with a 50-year warranty.
Yeah, and it looks amazingly like real wood. It's so beautiful.
So we both win.
Now this time.
TimberTech. Go against the grain.
Oh no, Bethany. Where are you? Are you upset?
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your cozy cardigan wearing, 80s fantasy movie watching. I'm getting my COVID vaccine today, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney. You're on the hunt for a very cute tea kettle. Pineapple with whipped cream is my new favorite treat. My entire family almost had a meltdown over putting a rug under a bed last night, but we survived, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, we're doing something a little different this week that we're trying out.
Uh-huh, we sure are.
Kathleen and I decided to take a page out of the notebook of our friend's Guide to the Unknown, and instead of doing two separate topics, we would both take a different angle on the same topic.
Yeah.
Just to see, to see what something is like. So, Kathleen, what are we talking about this week?
My angle of the topic is faith and believing in God. And what does it really mean when you say faith? Is it spiritual? Is it believing in a religion? And why can't more people just admit that they believe in God?
And my topic is faith in yourself and how to calm that voice in your head that's telling you you're awful. And there are reasons that we have it. I know we've sort of touched on this topic before, but it's actually really interesting. And we go into some hard and fast ways to kind of try to beat down that evolutionary tendency to be really awful to ourselves.
You know, Bethany, I'm not sure if you really want that voice in my head to go away, because my voice likes you a lot better than it likes me.
Oh, God, that's one of those like really sad compliments.
Do you have a cute tea kettle? Do you have a kettle?
I have an electric tea kettle that was handed down to me, and it's great. It boils water so fast. I didn't know I needed one until I had one. Do you not have one?
I am shaking my hands in the air because everybody that I've been talking to recently, because my kettle is probably like 15 years old. Like there's all sorts of stuff growing inside of it and whatnot.
Ew.
I need a new kettle, but everyone's like, why bother getting a kettle for the top of your stove? Get an electric kettle.
Yeah, electric kettles are, I never understood how great they are until I had one, because it boils water.
Yeah.
In like less than a minute.
Really?
You know, it's great. Yeah. I really enjoy it. I don't even drink tea, but I use it sometimes if I really am impatient and I need to make, you know, pasta or whatever. I'll use that to boil the water and I'll pour it right in.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
yeah, it's so much faster there.
I usually am like all for technology. I don't know why my body and my brain are pushing back on this.
No, it is interesting because it feels. I don't know. It feels like cheating.
It does.
Yeah. I would never have bought one in a million years, but it was handed down to me by someone who got like a better electric tea kettle.
Yeah.
And so I took it and I really enjoy it. It's one of the few kitchen things I actually use, because also if you have to use a neti pot, you have to boil that water, and it's so much easier to boil the water in a electric kettle than it is to like put water on the stove.
Oh, all right.
And if you're delivering a baby suddenly in your home and the midwife is like, you boil some water, and you don't know why you need to boil water, but all the TV shows tell you to boil water, yeah, you just put it in the tea kettle.
You know, I never imagined myself in that situation, but it's always good to be prepared. Like a good
Boy Scout. I imagine myself in that situation all the time.
But I love this photo that you posted on your Instagram. Your t-shirt is so cute.
Thank you. It's a sweatshirt that I stole from Dennis while he was in the bathroom.
Does it say masculine, feminine?
Yeah, it's a reference to an old film by Jean-Luc Godard
of course.
Like the 60s, but it's not mine, it's Dennis's. So yeah, while he was in the bathroom, I stole it, took a picture because I really like the blue, and then folded it back up and put it back in his suitcase.
So he has no idea that you stole it and took this photo.
No, I'm waiting for the text. Yeah. Please tell me about this meltdown that your family had over a rug. I love family drama.
Bethany, there was screaming. There was yelling. I'm afraid. My mom.
So it was you and your mom?
And Neil. My mom has this really heavy bed, and the bed came before the rug. And finally, last night, we were trying to get the bed underneath the rug, and there's just like no easy way to do it. And Neil and I are yelling at each other that my way is better. His way is better.
What was your way?
I just wanted to tip the bed and then just pull the rug underneath.
Yeah.
And then what was his way? To like roll it from back to front. I don't know, Bethany.
That feels extra hard. And I'm normally on Neil's side. In fact, Neil and I are texting right now behind your back. But I feel like, yeah, you have to like shove it all under. Ugh. You like tip up one side, shove it all under, pick up the other side, shove it under.
Listen, I have learned that if you have a very heavy bed coming in the mail, get your freaking rug down before that bed comes. Because it might end in divorce. Anyway, we get the rug pad down, and then I realize it's the wrong rug pad for the rug. It's like way too thick, and my mom will trip over it, and all of that tension for naught.
You know, you have to be so careful about the things you place around your bed.
Yes.
If there's any difference in level, I broke a toe because I tripped up a rug and then slammed my toe against the side of a bed. And, you know, with a broken toe, there's not much to... Wait, for a second.
Yeah.
Speaking of a broken toe.
Yeah.
I was reminded over the weekend that there is a Wikipedia for feet.
What?
And it's called WikiFeet.
What?
And people on social media and like celebrities are posted up there without their permission and just pictures of their feet. So I'm up there, Kathleen.
No.
There's like 40 some pictures of my feet. My cats are in some of the photos. Like if I ever take a video or a picture and from my Instagram story, if my feet even make an appearance, it gets posted up there, including the picture of my broken toe. Someone is pleasuring themselves to my broken toe. And like any picture my cat is in, don't you pleasure yourself to a picture that my cat is in?
Bethany, you're innocent. There are so many pictures of you on WikiFeet.
It's so messed up. It's so messed up. So I'm taking a page out of my friend Christina Hutchinson's book, and I am going to start like covering my feet in pictures, like censoring my feet. I don't want people just like taking my feet pictures.
Oh my God. I remember your old bedroom with the stripes. There's a picture of it here. It looks so good.
Like, not to kink shame, if feet are your thing, that's great. But like, I just feel a little vulnerable, especially when my cats are in it. They didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for that.
If you were going to be making money off of it, that would be one thing. But you're not making any money off of this. So fuck.
I know. Part of me is like, should I start an OnlyFans for my feet? And my feet aren't even.
Oh my God. I'm in one of the pictures with you.
Wait, which one is it?
There's a couple of other people in the photo, but we're on vacation.
Oh, that's right.
I'm in more than one of the pictures with you, Bethany. This is so exciting. My feet are on WikiFeet too.
Wait, have you looked up your name? You're probably on WikiFeet without your permission.
I doubt it. Ugh. Let's see. I don't know if it would be under. It probably would be under Web Girl Kathleen.
Take a look.
Kathleen Heaney. No, I'm only on there via you.
Do you want me to start one for you?
No.
So that you yourself can have your feet pleasured off to?
I can't wait to go through all these photos later and reminisce.
And they rate your feet, too, on a scale of how pretty they are, which is like just, it feels wrong.
It's
again,
like,
whatever, but
do you remember that website from the early 2000s, Hot or Not?
Yes. What were we as a culture?
I used to spend so much time on that website.
How many people did you rate? Did you leave? Could you leave comments? I don't remember.
I mean, I mostly always. No, you couldn't. It was just Hot or Not. And then like after 4 days, you would get a. They would email you your final score or something.
So important. We were focused on such important things.
Well, to transition into more sexy talk, Glamour says that this is going to be the horniest summer ever.
Sure. Slutty summer 2021.
And they had a whole article on six women on how they plan to spend the horniest summer in history. One woman said, no vaccine, no vagine.
Did she pronounce it vagine?
Well, she typed it out vag-een.
Good for her. Make it rhyme.
Someone else tweeted, this lady on the plane just sat down and she announced to everyone, vaxxed and waxed, baby.
I love the class.
So now that I'm fully vaxxed, I went out to have a dinner with a friend and we sat inside and it was really weird.
How many other people were in the restaurant?
Not that many because we went for the early bird special.
Great.
We went at 5:15.
You're my kind of people.
It was strange. We looked at each other and like we almost started crying because we're like, this feels normal.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting my Johnson & Johnson today. So it's one and done.
Oh, and you're getting a J&J.
Yeah. And our friend, Dennis and my friend who we're working on a project with, we have a meeting on Friday and she was like, hey, do you guys want to meet, you know, at like a place? And yeah. I said, I want to wait. I want to wait the 2 weeks. Yes. I want to know the vaccine has kicked in. We're so close.
Yeah.
We're so close. I know someone who got COVID. We're so close. And then she just got it and she's miserable. And it's like, we're not there yet. So it's like breaking your leg right before the finish line of a marathon. And you're like, which is what I would do even if I got even close to the finish line, which I wouldn't.
Waxed and vaxed, baby. Hey, Bethany.
Hey, Kathleen.
Every time I get my period, I'm annoyed. And that is not because I'm annoyed that my body is shedding its uterus.
No.
I'm annoyed because we don't live in Scotland and therefore period care products are not free.
Yeah, Scotland is like the first country to offer free period products for like periods, right?
Yes. And that is why I'm really excited that we are teaming up with Flex. Because if you want a period product that looks out for your body, your lifestyle, and the planet, unlike America, but sort of like Scotland, you've got to try Flex.
So Flex is innovating period care with products that are body safe, comfortable, and they're made to keep you moving. Here's what we're talking about. There's the Flex Disc and the Flex Cup, and they're actually quite easy and sort of life-changing. The Flex Disc is a one-time use menstrual disc. It fits perfectly inside your body. It can be worn for up to 12 hours and it holds as much flow as 3 super tampons. You just sort of like fold it into a U shape and insert it like a tampon and then it kind of like unfolds itself. It doesn't hurt at all and then it just catches everything.
And you can wear it for mess-free period sex.
And then if you want to go zero waste and then the earth is going to be like, I love you even more than the people who are always. Then you get the Flex Cup and this is a menstrual cup that Cosmo rated number one.
And it's velvety soft, completely body safe, and it lasts for years.
I love these new products. They have helpful videos. They have in-depth diagrams. They have GIFs. They have Flexperts. Everything you need to walk you through the process if you're someone who's never used this kind of stuff before.
So say goodbye to period cramps because now you can have mess-free sex on your period, put sex back on the table, and lend Mother Nature a hand. Go to flexfits.com/taste and use the code TASTE for 20% off the Flex Disc Starter Kit or 10% off your first Flex Cup plus free United States shipping.
That's the code TASTE at Flex, F-L-E-X, fits.com/taste.
Okay, Miss Bethany, are you ready to have a very uncomfortable conversation about religion?
Always.
Okay. This is what got me started thinking about faith versus religion.
Okay.
And then also, which will lead into your topic, faith/religion/faith in yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
I was watching an episode of Grey's Anatomy. And
that's how all of our topics have started recently.
You know what, Bethany? It's a really good show. And there's an episode, I explained it briefly on a previous podcast, where there's this doctor. Her name is April Kepner. She is very religious. It's like part of her storyline on the show. And she's a trauma doctor. So she's taking care of this rabbi who's dying in the ER. And she's saying to the rabbi, why do bad things keep happening to me? I follow all the rules, all of Jesus's rules. I follow the Bible. I go to church. Like, why do bad things keep happening to me? And the rabbi is like, you have it all wrong. It's not about how closely you follow the rules. It's about helping others. And you do that. And so you're looking at it in the wrong way because you're a doctor. You help people every day. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking about religion versus faith/spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bethany, do you consider yourself spiritual?
Yes, very.
Do you consider yourself religious?
No, absolutely not.
And I think that there is a difference that people sometimes can't always define. And so I've been thinking about this a lot. And I think there's sort of like an umbrella, which is faith.
Mm-hmm.
And faith then splits into spirituality and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I think that you have to be... No, you don't. I was going to say you have to be spiritual in order to be religious, but I know many people who are religious but really don't actually have much of a spiritual connection. So
yeah.
I think they can live together, and I think in the best circumstances for religion, there is a spirituality to it. But I see religion more as a list of rules.
Yes.
And unfortunately, in some cases, a list of judgments. Mm-hmm. And I see spirituality more as a really individual thing, which I think is more in line with what I feel is my own truth, which is like it's between me and whatever higher power I feel is true.
Is there.
Yeah, is there. Yeah.
So I put on our socials, on our Instagram and our Facebook, and gentle listener, there were so many, there were like 300 responses on both of those platforms. Go and read them because they're so interesting. I wrote the question, do you believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe in God.
And so what is that for you, Kathleen? Like, what are you religious?
I don't consider myself religious. I am interested in religious tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, spirituality and God and respect for others are more how I define my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been thinking a little bit deeply about religion in America lately.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, we got an email or there was a comment or something about QAnon. And Bethany's like, no, we're not reading this on the pod.
I don't even want to get into it. It's such a bag of worms.
And it's a sensitive subject because there are people out there who have lost their loved ones to the QAnon conspiracy theory.
If you want like a great coverage of QAnon, our friend M. Schultz did an amazing multi-part series on their podcast, And That's Why We Drink. About a month ago was the last one. So kind of go back several episodes. They do like a deep dive into QAnon. So they did a good job.
Yeah, but it got me thinking about religion, specifically Christianity in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Where just like QAnon, I am feeling like there is a divide in this country over liberal Christians and conservative Christians who are confusing nationalism for religion.
That is an incredible point. And you were the first person, Kathleen, who really illuminated that fact for me, that there were people who voted a certain way in the voting booth because they thought it was their way of showing God.
Yes.
That, look, I am walking your path. I am voting for this candidate. My vote equals my faith.
Yes.
And I had no idea that that was the case for people. It's really interesting.
Can you believe that the storming of the Capitol was January? Doesn't that feel like it just happened yesterday?
Yeah, it feels so recent.
There were people storming the Capitol while they were doing it, breaking all sorts of rules for respect for other human life, shouting that they were doing it in the name of God. I'm like, this is not what God is. Like, there is such a divide with Christianity in this country. And I've sort of been a little bit torn about it because I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
I truly do. I believe in a higher power. And I get choked up talking about this because I believe in respecting other people's differences. I believe in recognizing that not everybody has had the same experience that I have had and having empathy for that experience. And it makes me really upset when people are like, yes, God, follow what God says you should be doing. Follow what Jesus says you should be doing and don't be gay or don't get blood transfusions. Mm-hmm. Like Jehovah's Witnesses, you know they won't get blood transfusions even if it's going to save their life.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They won't get blood transfusions because their religion says so. So a parent, this is also another storyline from Grey's Anatomy. This teenage boy is dying and he needs a blood transfusion and his parents won't let him get it because the Bible in their sect of religion, I guess they're Christians, says not to.
Is it the belief that if God wants your child or whoever to be okay, then God will intercede and make that child okay?
I think so. Something like that, or like you shouldn't put things in your body that mm-hmm. God didn't put there. Taste by Kara on our Facebook page wrote, I had a comparative religion class that I took in college, and there was a father from a local Catholic church who came in to talk to the class, and he described religion in what I think is the best way possible, where he said, God is the sun, and if you were to put a colander over the sun, it would hit the earth in all different ways, and each place on earth, the sun could be interpreted differently. And I think that that is interesting.
I'm sorry, a colander like a strainer?
Yeah, like a strainer. Okay. If you're going to put a colander over the sun,
yeah,
the light would come out and hit the earth in all different places.
Uh-huh.
And in those places, the light would be different, even though it's coming from the same sun. Oh, and so
okay, that makes sense.
It's kind of like a way of interpreting God and religion in that everywhere it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You were raised religious, as I was.
Yeah, I was raised Lutheran. What were you raised?
Catholic. Okay. Roman Catholic. Okay. I mean, we lived next door to the church.
There's no excuse to not go to church.
Yeah. And I was always kind of like a skeptic, like, okay, so you're telling me that I shouldn't have sex before marriage, but Mary was all of a sudden like, I'm having a baby, and like, that's not how science works.
You know, and it depends on what kind of leader you have, what kind of minister or priest you have.
Yeah.
If you have one who's like, who loves debate and loves to chew into those questions, like my stepdad was also my minister growing up.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, I only knew him as my pastor.
Yeah.
He loved those conversations and he loved debating with people and really digging into like,
yeah,
what do you think about, you know, the virgin birth versus like maybe she did have sex before marriage. What does that mean?
Yeah.
But if you have someone who just shuts that conversation down,
yes,
that can be really tough and it can either lead you to then just reject the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or to be like, well, questioning isn't allowed. So I'm going to shut down all questioning. Yes. And I'm going to be like, well, I'm not going to question anything. I'm just moving forward with this religion. And I think both can be bad. Both are bad.
I think there's more room in being a Lutheran, coming from the Lutheran church, Bethany. I think within the Lutheran church, there is more room for questioning and debate like that than there is mm-hmm. from the Catholic church.
That's the impression I've gotten.
And Catholicism has so many rules. Like when I was little, my mom wouldn't let us eat breakfast before going to church, despite my brother and I being like, oh, we're starving. Can we please just have an English muffin? Because for a long time before the Archdiocese said that you didn't have to do it anymore, you weren't allowed to have food before taking the body of Christ.
That's insane. My blood sugar would have crashed.
Yes.
And like, you want people to listen to your 7-hour homily.
Yes.
You better give them some blood sugar.
No, luckily the Catholics are like 45 minutes in and out.
Okay, good. Thank God.
And I think that for people our age, sort of like millennials, you know, from age like, I don't know, 40 to 25, who, when traditional upbringings were more popular than they are now, mm-hmm. for those of us who went to church every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
I think that sometimes I'm afraid to tell others that I believe in God
mm-hmm.
because they're like, mm-hmm. you're not woke, you know?
Well, I think that there's an immediate stigma.
Yeah.
And here's why. And it's not fair.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit like the loudest person in the room speaks mm-hmm. for the group,
yeah.
even if the rest of the group doesn't agree with them.
Yeah.
So I've said this before. Some of the cruelest things that have ever been said to me on social media have been said by people who, in their own bio, they list themselves as Christians.
Yes.
And it just happened again to a friend of mine. There was this guy on Twitter who was calling her the C word, and I don't even say that word.
Yeah.
Left, right, she called him out on it, and he was like, well, because you are a C word. And he just kept using it. And in his bio, he had a Bible verse quoted, and he said he was a Christian. But he was spewing the most hatred yeah. and vile things about women. And so when someone says they believe in God, my trigger response is to be like, you hate gay people. You hate, you know, anyone yes. in the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
You maybe say, I don't hate the sinner, but I hate the sin, yeah. thus saying that, you know, being attracted genetically to the same sex is a sin. Like, and that's not accurate.
No.
I have a friend who is a Lutheran minister and her church is super accepting and she's covered in tattoos and she's like this bomb ass and she swears like a sailor
yeah.
and she loves Jesus.
Yeah.
But the loudest voices are the ones who are spewing this vile stuff, and the ones who just quietly love God
yeah.
are quietly loving God and loving the people around them and getting a bad name, unfortunately.
Yes. And that is why sometimes I'm uncomfortable to say to people or even admit to myself that I have faith. I have faith mm-hmm. in a higher being. I have faith that everything happens for a reason. And I kind of came to the realization that religion is about following a set of rules, like we said before. And mm-hmm. following those set of rules doesn't necessarily have anything to do with how moral you are or mm-hmm. your moral behavior.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when I ask complicated questions like this on the podcast social, sometimes I will click on people's bios, specifically on Facebook, to like kind of check out to see what kind of person they are. I always yeah. kind of like want to see like how old maybe they look in their photo, stuff like that.
Sure.
And there was someone who just wrote, yes, you know, to the question, mm-hmm. do you believe in God? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I clicked on her photo and then it said, in her Facebook bio, so it's like how she's defining herself, question mark, mm-hmm. question mark, pronouns, Her Highness, Your Majesty.
Okay. Okay.
And you believe in God, but you just by putting that mocking of the pronouns in your bio, mm-hmm. you're automatically telling me that you don't respect others with differences.
Yeah, and I want to kind of give her the benefit of the doubt because she is a listener, you know, and we don't want to like go off on our listeners because we really do desperately love you. I sometimes think that people don't realize like the weight that listing your pronouns is because it's yeah. really a battle.
Yeah.
So I can see why people would think it's funny. Like I've had people reach out to me who are friends and go like privately, hey, do you think it would be funny if I put like for pronouns like dumbass? And they are very pro trans rights, but they don't fully understand how that comes across. And I've said like, no, we're not okay. there yet in terms okay. of the battle.
So let's give her the benefit of the doubt.
We'll give her the benefit of the doubt, but it is coming across in a very specific way.
There's this really good podcast that I've been listening to lately. I love this podcast. It's called Essential Conversation with Rabbi Rami. I think it's part of the Health and Spirituality magazine.
Amazing.
Amazing. And he was interviewing this guy. His name is Brian McLaren. He's the author of a book called Faith After Doubt. And he gave this really interesting definition of faith. And he said, faith is a way of orienting our lives in hope toward love and the unknown.
I really like that a lot.
So love for others, love for accepting what you can't explain, and in just being okay with the unknown.
Yeah, which is very frightening for a lot of people.
A lot of people. Some of the most religious people I know have the hardest time accepting that their experience in this world is not the experience of everyone in this world.
Yeah. Then that's a paradox too, because if you are religious,
yeah.
you in theory have faith. Mm-hmm. And having faith means that you are choosing to believe
yeah.
without any evidence that something is true.
Yes.
And so should that not extend to the life experiences of others?
Exactly. And there's always going to be a gray area. Of course, there's right and wrong, but there's always going to be a gray area. And I think sometimes I'm turned off by religion, even though I crave some of the traditions that religion yeah. provides.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel closer to my family and closer to the ones I love because, you know, mm-hmm. you typically get together with people when you're doing traditions, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you eat, which is also super fun.
I think that sometimes religion, as it's interpreted, doesn't leave a lot of room for gray area.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just not how life is. You know, my father, who was raised Catholic and Russian Orthodox, who, when I was 12, was like very, he was like chopping wood in the backyard. And he's like, come here, I have to tell you something. I've already told your brother, I'm going to tell you.
Uh-oh, is it sex? Is it sex talk?
No.
Oh, thank God.
He looked at me very sternly and he said, I'm an atheist. I said, Daddy, like, cool, me too. Like,
I love that it was a pronouncement that he made while chopping wood.
And you know, my mom, who's like so devout, and my grandmother, who's so devout. My grandmother, after she retired, spent the rest of her retired life volunteering in a chapel in the mall. Then she didn't get paid, you know? So, like, I grew up running around my grandma's chapel, and mm-hmm. I grew up going to church camp and living next to the church. And so my dad was like expecting me to like have a meltdown. And I was like, cool, whatever. But so this man who looked me in the eyeball when I was 12 and told me he was an atheist, there was a man in our town who was the father. He had two children, similar age to my brother and myself. And he was always a kooky guy. And I want to say probably when I was in high school or maybe when I just started college, this man decided that it was time to live his truth. And he came out as a trans woman. Mm-hmm. And my father, who didn't believe in anything, he was sitting at the dining room table and my family was kind of, we were talking about it. And my dad put his head in his hands and he said, I just feel sorry for all the pain that he has probably been living with up until this point. And that is sort of, I think that is my divide in terms of faith. Because religion doesn't mean, it is not inherent that when you are religious that you have empathy for others. Mm-hmm. But when you are spiritual, the spirituality part of faith, there is this inherent, ingrained respect for others and respect for the dignity of others that it just doesn't come with being religious.
Mm-hmm. It's not a given.
It's not a given.
And I think that that's why, and I know we're talking a lot about Christianity because that's sort of where Kathleen and I are from in terms of our upbringings. Yeah. But I think in general, what I really respond to if someone is religious, is the quiet love that I think comes from someone who is very comfortable both with themselves and with their beliefs.
Yeah.
And that, like your father, that moment with your father, whether he would consider himself religious and believing in God or not, in that moment, he was reflecting what I think people view God as. Yes. You know, like he was approaching this now woman with love and with empathy and like a quiet acceptance and just like a no need to be over the top about it or aggressive about it. It's like seeing faith in action, seeing like what I think religion aims to be happened when my landlord came up the other day. And this is a man who I think he's in his 70s. He can't hear very well. He shuffles everywhere he goes.
So you always have to kind of scream when you're talking.
Yeah. And he like literally cups his ear to hear you. Mm-hmm. And he is just like this crotchety, funny, deadpan old man. And he was coming up to fix something. And I had Robert Welsh playing on YouTube. And Robert Welsh is a gay man who does makeup tutorials and he has a full beard and he's like just amazing. And my landlord shuffled past as Robert was finishing this amazing makeup look. So he had like tons of eyeshadow on, big eyelashes, you know, everything. And John shuffled past and he looked at the computer screen and he goes, huh, he looks good. And then kept walking. And this is a man who like is in his 70s and that's probably not something he sees every day. And he's probably from a worldview where men don't wear makeup. But to him, it was like, this is fine. He looks great because he did look great.
And just appreciating someone for who they are
without
judging that person for not fitting into your rules.
Robert Welsh isn't hurting anyone by wearing makeup. He wasn't hurting my landlord. My landlord, it didn't affect him. And in that moment, I was like, that is the quiet acceptance and and empathy and love that I think I wish religion was. And I think some people have figured it out, and I think others have not.
That is probably the only source of comfort in an answer that I am going to get from this sort of journey that I'm on. Mm-hmm. Some people have figured it out, and some people have not. Mm-hmm. But I want to maybe inspire other millennials. And we've got Gen Zers that listen to this podcast too.
Bless up.
And
tell us how to part our hair.
Tell us how to part our hair. And we've got, I don't know, what is the generation above a millennial?
I think X. Is it X or Y?
Generation
it's one of the
y,
chromosomes.
X. I know we have people in that generation that listen to us too.
We have boomers.
I want to inspire people to have conversations like this more often with others, because I think for a long time, specifically Christianity in this country. And listen, if I could choose a religion today and convert, it would be Judaism, hands down, you know, because I think that their traditions are sometimes a little bit more fun than Christian traditions, because there's such a divide politically in this country right now. And I think that maybe the divide would soften a little bit if people were to have conversations that equated faith to being a good thing, that equated God to being a good thing, and to having empathy in others. So that instead of saying, no abortion, I am religious, I believe in God and life, you would approach it as, I know that not everybody comes from the same life situation that I do, and I respect our differences, and I have empathy when you are in a tough situation, mm-hmm. as opposed to just ruling with an iron fist. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just let's make faith cool again. Do you know that there are nuns who are dedicated to bringing to light that Mary was more important than Jesus, that Mary is the mother of all, and that it is she, a woman, that Christianity should worship and not a man, you know, because you go to walk into a Catholic church, Our Father who art in heaven. Well, you know, what about like Our Mother who art in heaven? Mary is there too. She's the one who birthed yeah. damn Jesus. Would you go to church again if you could find a church that was open, had welcoming beliefs?
Maybe occasionally, because I was raised with that, I find comfort in it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really reflect everything that I believe anymore.
Yeah.
But what I do really appreciate about religion and about the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the ritual of it.
Yeah.
Is that I love ritual. I love, yeah. And that's one thing I like about the Catholic Church is that there's tons of rituals and there's, you know, there's people swinging things and there's, you know, there's like incense flying over people and like, it's just very over the top, very dramatic. And
yeah, but the music's not so great. Like the music in the Lutheran church is way better.
But I think religion and those rituals are awesome if they are reminding you every day of what you're trying to do and who you're trying to be. I think they're bad when you use them as a proof that you can then do whatever you want. So like, well, yeah. I went to church on Sunday, so then, you know, I can, you know, be hateful the rest of the week, or I can like have yes. an affair the rest of the week because yeah. I'm at church on Sunday.
Yeah.
But
or I went to church and I am better than you because right. you don't go to church. And so my religion makes me feel like I'm more powerful than you. And right. now I'm going to other you.
Right.
You are othered because you're gay, and you are othered because you're trans, and you are othered because you had a baby and you weren't married, and you are othered because you believe in a woman's right to choose. And mm-hmm. so if long as you're not using your religion to have power over others.
Mm-hmm. It should be deeply personal, I think. And Dennis is Buddhist. Dennis chants twice a day without fail. If he's exhausted yeah. and he gets into bed and he realizes he hasn't chanted, he gets out of bed, he goes, he rings, like he does his whole thing. And yeah. the reason he chants is to remind himself twice a day of who he is trying to be and the guidelines that Buddhism gives him for how to live yeah. his life. That's mm-hmm. what I think religion should provide, is a daily reminder. You pray so that you can be brought back into alignment with who you're trying to connect to, which is your higher power.
Yeah.
That's where I think it's so valuable. It's a daily reminder, a weekly reminder of what you're trying to do and who you're trying to be, the better person you want to be. Not, okay, check this off my list so now I can yell at someone on Twitter and call them the C word.
Let's end it there.
On the C word. So, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Dennis comes and stays on the weekends. And this last weekend, he forgot his Brush toothbrush.
Oh.
So I have spare, just like regular manual toothbrushes in case that happens. And also for cleaning under my sink. And he was so disappointed. First of all, he was like, what, you don't have a spare Brush? And I'm like, who has like multiple electric tooth? Who do you think I am?
No.
But also, the clean was just different using a manual toothbrush because he's so used to the awesome clean he gets from his Brush toothbrush.
You know, it seems like he's high maintenance, but he's really not, because I too have gone places overnight and forgotten my Brush toothbrush, and it's quite heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. The Brush toothbrush is a sonic toothbrush without the crazy sonic toothbrush price. Your dentist has been telling you for a long time that they want you to get an electric toothbrush. But if you're like me, you've been holding off because A, the price, and B, you don't want this bulky charging station hanging out on your bathroom counter. That was a game changer for me. Brush charges on this tiny little stand and has a 4-week battery life. So you take it off the stand, you have a month of not having to worry about it.
Yeah, it's not something that you need to keep plugged in that's taking up counter space.
Yep.
And with the subscription program, never forget to change your Brush head again. Brush will ship you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn down brush head.
And the toothbrush isn't one size fits all. They have 6 unique modes to customize your brushing experience, including a sensitive one that I have because my teeth are very sensitive. They have a gum one. They have like a, you know, fold your laundry one. Everything you need.
You know, every time I use the gum one, I just imagine my gums going to the spa and getting a massage.
Little cucumbers on their little gum eyes. So get 15% off of your Brush toothbrush kit and refill plan when you use the promo code TASTE at Brush.com. How do you spell that, Kathleen?
This is how you spell it, Bethany. Brush.com. Again, that's 15% off using the promo code TASTE at Brush.com. Brush.
Kathleen, I was being such a brat the other day. I was talking to my mom on the phone, and I didn't want to leave my house, but I had errands I had to do. And my mom literally said, can you just put your Rothy's on and go? Because she knows that they're the most low-key, easy shoe, and it's going to let me just get out into the world.
Your mom is not wrong. I have been wearing my Rothy's almost every day lately. Like, I put them away for a little bit. Like, shame on me. Should have had them out all winter. But I just got them out again. I'm like, yes, I remember why I love these shoes so much.
Rothy's shoes are the shoes we've been talking about forever. They're knit with thread made from plastic water bottles, so they're ultra comfortable as soon as you slip them on. There's no break-in period. And they're machine washable.
Yes. My best friend Kristen yesterday was like, okay, I'm going to wash my Rothy's for the first time. Wish me luck. And I was like, girl, you don't need any luck because I've washed my Rothy's before and I know they're going to come out sparkling new. And then she sent me a before and after picture and I was right. Indeed, they came out sparkling new.
Exactly. Rothy's has transformed nearly 100 million bottles into beautiful shoes, handbags, and face masks. Plus, they have the cutest styles out all the time. They're always coming out with new stuff. And Kathleen was oohing and aahing over their website before we started recording.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a kid, but looking at the Rothy's kid styles makes me want one. They're so cute. But really, they have a new lace-up sneaker and a new flat with a cap toe. You know how Chanel kind of does it?
Yep.
Where it's like the tan shoe of the ballet flat and then the cap of the toe is black?
Yep.
Rothy's has that now too.
I have their loafer. It's in the mocha color. It goes with everything. And Kathleen, I know you have like 7 pairs.
My favorite pair recently is the slip-on sneaker in the sort of like sandy color. Just looks great. Looks great with everything I wear.
So check out all of the amazing shoes, bags, and masks available right now at rothys.com/taste.
That's rothys.com, rothys.com/taste.
Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. Head to rothys.com/taste today. All right, Kathleen.
Yes.
Let's move from the topic of religion and God and spirituality and faith to faith in yourself.
I like it.
When we were talking about this privately, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do because I just didn't want it to be, here's some mantras, because I'm over mantras. And I've been on a journey of like figuring out how to have faith in yourself for so long that I'm really tired of like put sticky notes on your mirror telling you you're amazing. It just does. It doesn't work for me.
Well, but what about my favorite mantra that I talked about in our Patreon live show?
Which one is that?
Eat more fiber to poop like tiger.
There you go. To poop like tiger. But I was digging into the conversation that was happening on our Facebook group about how to have a little bit more faith in yourself and handle some negative self-talk. So yeah. It also stemmed from a conversation that I had with Dennis this weekend about the way your brain actually processes how you talk to yourself. So we're going to do a little bit of psychology, a little bit of science. I am neither a psychologist nor a scientist. So this is very surface level stuff, but I have notes and sources in our show notes. So here we go.
But you know what? Sometimes the surface level stuff is like what scratches the itch for some people. And yes. Then they start to think more deeply about something.
Definitely. 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 So Kathleen, you recommended I start with this book that our listener Maggie also recommended called Chatter, The Voice in Our Head, Why It Matters and How to Harness It.
I downloaded it too. I bought it yesterday. Woo-hoo!
So this book is by Ethan Cross. And this is one of those books where if you're going to highlight stuff that's meaningful to you, you're going to be like Alexis Rose on Schitt's Creek and you're going to be highlighting the entire book because this book is just filled sentence by sentence with stuff that makes you like, holy crap, me too.
Good.
Yeah. So at the very beginning, Ethan Cross is talking about introspection and the process of us thinking and talking to ourselves.
Okay.
And he says, in the most basic sense, introspection simply means actively paying attention to one's own thoughts and feelings. The ability to do this is what allows us to imagine and remember and reflect and then use these reveries to problem solve and innovate and create. Mm. And many scientists see this as one of the central evolutionary advances that distinguishes us as human beings from other species. You don't see your dog inventing the internet because A, no opposable thumb, and B, there's no process of really problem solving and thinking and going over what you've done before to see if it worked, to see what didn't work, and to improve.
So problem solvers, would you say, are better at life?
Aha! There's the rub.
Okay.
Here's the rub.
Okay.
Because while being able to be introspective and think and have that internal monologue is good,
yeah,
in theory,
yeah,
it also allows you to literally talk shit to yourself.
Ah.
And there is where the problem lies. Mm-hmm. So please hold while I move to my slides that I'm using to help myself.
You know, the other day I was talking to myself and I do this. You know, because you and I have both been open about our struggles with food and stuff, and I was getting yet again another late night snack.
Sure.
And I was like, Kathleen, you are not really hungry right now. I know that you're getting the snack because you are trying to make yourself stay awake. You should just go to bed right now and you wouldn't need a snack. And then I was like, never mind. You're a fatty anyway. Eat it all up.
Oh, no.
And it's like this type. I know it's this type of very bad shit talk. Yep. Like I solved the problem and then I was like, never mind.
Yeah. Like because you knew what was causing it.
Yeah.
Which is great. Actually, a lot of people don't even get to that step.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's the next step of, okay, how am I going to change this behavior?
Yeah.
That's really hard.
Yeah.
Because we are rewarded for making the bad choice. Eating is fun.
I know. And even when you have the problem solved right in front of you, sometimes you don't choose it.
Yeah. It's like, So one thing that people say is, well, live in the moment, live in the present. If you live in the present, you're going to be happy. It's, you know, live in the present.
Yeah.
But humans weren't made to live in the present. That's not what our brains evolved to do.
Yes. As Dawson Leary has taught us.
Has he?
You live in the past and you live in the future, but never the present.
I mean, it's true. Mm-hmm. So still in this book, he says, as naturally as we breathe, we, quote, decouple from the here and now. We slip away from the present. Our default state is really our brain reverting to other things when it's not being otherwise engaged. So like if you're not having to focus on running away from a tiger and surviving, mm-hmm. you're like standing in line at the grocery store, your brain doesn't have to focus on anything really. So your brain goes to the past, your brain goes to the future. Mm. And when that happens, we start talking to ourselves. We go through things we have to do that day. We go through arguments we had yesterday. We go through fears of the future. That's when we talk to ourselves, and that's when we really start listening to our own voices.
Oh.
And that can be a great thing and a bad thing. So the great thing about it is that we listen to ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that can be very powerful. But your internal monologue can also lead to toxic relationships. It can lead to abuse.
Yeah.
Being an abusive person. It can lead to eating disorders. It can lead to all sorts of bad stuff. It can lead to an incredible athlete being completely unable to perform because of the self-talk. So this sort of hit a chord with me because you guys know that I train in aerial fabric circus stuff.
Yeah.
And there have been so many times where my instructor is like, Bethany, you have all of the physical capability to do this thing you're trying to do, but your brain is telling you you can't do it. And so you're never going to do it until your brain changes. I'm trying to invert right now, which means being in the air and flipping your body upside down. It involves lifting yourself up with your arms. It involves compressing your abs. It involves throwing your body backwards. All of these things, Kathleen, I can do in the air individually. I have the arm strength to lift a little bit. I have the core strength to lift my knees up. I have the strength to go backwards. My brain will not let me do all of those things together.
You have to create new neurons, but you're overthinking it.
And that's so, exactly right, Kathleen.
Overthinking. You know, there is a taste bud who I've been texting with via our phone number. Her name is Jasmine. And we joke with each other about having a club for overthinkers. And Jasmine is like, okay, can I be the secretary? But I'm going to doubt my abilities to be the secretary. And then I'm going to ask you to not make me the secretary. And, you know, it's just, and it's this overthinking that sometimes, I mean, overthinking goes hand in hand with self-talk and faith in yourself.
Yeah.
And you can literally talk yourself out of anything. So Bethany, are you in the air like talking yourself out of being able to invert?
Kathleen, I don't even get to the air.
Really?
Marianne, my instructor, says that she can see the moment I give up on myself and it's before I've even started. She's like, you climb to where you need to be in the fabric, you're in the air, and she says she can see it on my face that I go, this isn't going to happen, and then I try.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen. And of course it doesn't happen because I have already decided it's not going to happen.
You know, teachers have this funny way of being able to see inside of our brains better than we can see inside of our brains. This has happened with my singing teacher too. Tim, he's
God bless Tim.
So nice. Tim, sometimes when I'm trying to hit a note or like I'm working on a new technique, he goes, stop right now. This is supposed to be fun. I can see it on your face.
Wow.
And you're about to psych yourself out.
Dude, it's so true because I have decided that I can't even comprehend from my years of being awful at gym class and being overweight and being all of the things that I've lived through, there's no way that my body is the type of body that can invert in the air. And all of the things that you've gone through, you've decided there's no way that I am the type of person who can hit a high note. Celine Dion can, Ariana Grande can, the dude across the street can. I hear it every night at 11, but there's no way that I can.
Taste Bud Danielle, she's the one who brought this up on the Facebook page. She wrote, per my therapist, I need to work on self-talk because mine is crappy. I know I'm not going to go from calling myself, insert every crappy insult you can probably imagine, right to, oh my God, I'm the best and I deserve everything because I love myself overnight / probably ever. So does anyone have tips for small changes? You know, and it's just that awareness that a change needs to be made is like kind of half the battle.
It's huge because our brains are so often on autopilot.
Yeah.
And we're so used to just thinking negative thoughts. So it doesn't even occur to us that it's happening. We just feel bad.
So next time you go to aerial, are you going, like, what are you going to do when you're in the air and you're trying to invert?
I mean, it's just still working on that self-talk. Saying before I go up, my body already is strong enough to do this. I can, you know.
Yeah.
So let's talk about really quickly.
Yeah.
Because we're going to get into steps of how to fix this.
Okay.
I'm not
going to
leave you hanging literally.
Okay, good.
There's a man named Dr. Rick Hansen. He did a TEDx talk called Hardwiring Happiness. Mm. Our brains have something called negativity bias. He said, quote, our brain is very good at learning from bad experiences, but bad at learning from good ones. This was crucial for our survival as humans at one point.
Yeah.
So our brains are still hardwired this way.
Our brains are bad at learning from good experiences and very good at learning from bad experiences.
Yes. It's why you remember the one bad Apple Podcast review and you don't remember the 17 good ones.
Oh, we can relate to that.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. So where do these thoughts come from, Kathleen? Where do we learn how to be total assholes to ourselves? Do you have any ideas?
Our mothers. My mother.
That's one.
Okay.
Parents and primary caretakers. And if you're a parent, stop beating yourself up, because unless you were like super hard on your kid, then like beat yourself up. But if you're a parent, it doesn't necessarily mean that you were super critical to your child. As children, we are able to pick up on the negative attitudes our parents have about themselves. Hmm. So if you as a parent are being really mean to yourself and you say little things about yourself and you have certain attitudes, your kid picks them up and may apply them to themselves as well.
Just like curse words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Another thing is interactions we have with peers or siblings or influential adults. I think we've all had a teacher who said something to us that was like, oh, well, my teacher said I'm bad at math. I guess I'm bad at math.
Yeah. I had a teacher who once asked me if I was intimidated by the smarter kids.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I was in honors math, and are you intimidated by the smarter kids? Mm-hmm. Should you go back to regular math?
I was in honors math too. I was in like advanced math, and then my teacher said, it's okay, you're not good at math. And so I just wasn't good at math for the I mean, that's it. It ended there. It just stopped.
It just stopped. And, or that teacher who told you that the other kids were calling you a nerd.
Yeah, I never knew that they were calling me a nerd until my teacher pointed it out. And for the rest of my life, I called myself a nerd. It never occurred to me before that.
Crazy. And the teacher said it to you like, it others you. It others you. You're other. You're a nerd. And then you're like, oh, that's not a good thing, but I guess I am.
I have to say that when I was doing this research, I got this like amazing sense of calm because I felt so not alone anymore. Like to know that there were so many people and this was like something people studied like scientifically. Yeah.
Self-talk.
Yeah. So a couple of the really important sites I used for the next thing is psychalive.com and divethrough.com.
Okay.
These are some steps to conquering this inner voice and developing a little bit more faith in yourself.
Okay.
Okay? And it's not like have a mantra. Mantras are great. And if mantras work for you, that's great. But if mantras don't work for you and you feel like that's the only thing that you can do, you're just not even going to try to get better in terms of self-talk. So
fries before guys.
Yeah.
Chicks before dicks.
Rosé all day. All right. Step one.
Yeah.
Become conscious of what your inner voice is telling you. And here's how to do it. Pay attention to when you suddenly slip into a bad mood or when you suddenly feel upset about something. A lot of times that negative shift in emotion is a result of something your inner voice is telling you. You may not even realize it. So for me, for example, I'll start to feel like I'm dreading the next day and I don't know why I'm so grumpy and just like don't want to be awake anymore.
Yeah.
And I realize it's because I'm nervous I have a meeting the next day.
Yeah.
And I'm nervous about that meeting because I don't feel like I'm worthy of success. That's that negative self-talk. But I wouldn't have stopped the process and pulled apart those threads if I wasn't like trying to be aware of things like that, you know?
I was so grumpy on Monday, Bethany. Mm-hmm. And I like had too much to do. I couldn't get it all done. And I had to drive to my mom's house to do something for her. And now I realize I was self-talking to myself like, you're never going to be able to get all this done. Why can't you be more productive? Mm-hmm. And like now, obviously, the solution is that I need to set more boundaries with people in my life who need my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just solved the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Totally.
And I spent all of the second half of Monday like literally stewing in my
own. It ruined your whole day.
Grump.
Ruined your whole day. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So step two.
Yeah.
Now that you've identified there's a mood shift, what caused that shift? So it's what we just talked about. What happened? More importantly, what did you start telling yourself after the thing that happened? So the fact that your mood shifted is probably a sign that you're interpreting the event through your critical inner voice. Mm. So you realized you had to go to your mom's and there was a lot to do. And then you made the assumption you're never going to get stuff done. You started telling yourself that you're never going to get it done.
Yeah.
You're never going to hit a deadline. None of that is true.
None of that is true.
Okay. Step three.
Yeah.
For those taking notes. Now that you've identified that your critical inner voice is advising you, what is it trying to get you to do? This is the big one.
Yeah.
For me, my critical inner voice is saying you're dreading tomorrow. You're dreading tomorrow because you have a meeting you're nervous about. You're nervous about it because you think you're going to fail. What is it trying to get me to do? Quit. Because I feel like I don't deserve success. So I might as well quit.
I know you don't like mantras, but can I suggest that we all introduce this one mantra into our lives?
Maybe.
The second you start losing faith in yourself, you start doubting yourself, and you start speaking negatively to yourself in your head, the mantra that we should all have permanently burned behind our eyeballs is stop, drop, and be kinder to yourself.
If that works for you, abso-freaking-lutely.
And then if you're on fire, roll.
Mm-hmm. And then roll. And then please roll.
Yeah, just be kinder to yourself.
Yeah. Another thing that is said is like, throughout the day, we're going to be encountering like mostly neutral moments, several good ones and like maybe one bad one.
Yeah.
Be aware and be intentional as you lay down and go to bed. Which parts are you replaying?
Yeah.
Like statistically, the most parts of your day were probably neutral. So maybe replay those moments. Like if 1% of your day was negative, why does 1% of your day get to be the one that you ruminate over as you try to fall asleep?
I have to tell you, I have PTSD from planning my wedding and then going to my wedding.
And you were so stressed out.
Some of the only moments I replay in my mind about that day are the moments when I saw other people not having a good time.
Wow.
I never think about the happy stuff.
Or the fact that that's the moment that you like sealed yourself with your husband, the man of your dreams.
Yeah. I mean, really, the first thing that should come to mind is saying I do. And the second thing that should come to mind is my mom in a gown dancing to, God, what was that? The Korean singer, Gangnam Style.
Oh, my God. By the way, your wedding was so much fun.
Oh,
I'm really bummed you don't remember it well because, boy, I had a blast.
Oh, thank you. And I like, all of a sudden, my mom knew the moves to Gangnam Style, and I was like, MB, have you been practicing?
Have you been watching YouTube?
How do you know? But I never think about those funny moments when I think about my wedding. I think about the people whose faces I saw who looked miserable, and then I push the rest of it down. And this is, like, kind of a turning point for me. Talking about this because I never thought about how we are able to compute and learn from bad memories more efficiently than we are from good memories.
Look, if you're a wedding planner, then it behooves you to pay attention to when people weren't having a good time because you can learn from that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not, you, Kathleen, are not intending to get married again.
No.
There's no purpose for you replaying that stuff. There's nothing for you to learn. You had your wedding. Fuck them. It was about you and Neil. And your day, it's not your problem if people had a bad time.
What is something that happened to you in the past that you should have happy memories of that you can only think about the negative stuff? I know I'm putting you on the spot. I know.
No,
this is-
it's okay. I think a big one is, it's a really good question, actually. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know they exist. I think more of my rumination is forward facing. I don't have a ton of regrets. I think that's why. I think that I more worry about the future, not ruminating on the past.
Oh, you and I are so different in that way.
Yeah.
Oh,
I definitely I carry old wounds with me hard.
Yeah.
But I think my conscious energy goes mostly to the future and the anxiety of the future.
My conscious energy goes mostly to the past. And the future for me is exciting.
See, that's great.
Because I can go on Pinterest and pin things that I'm going to cook and rooms that I'm going to decorate.
Yeah. I think because I'm in an industry that is your success is based on if someone else decides that you get to come into the club.
Yeah.
there's a lot of anxiety of like, I need to do so many different things to get certain people's attentions versus like, I can just apply for a job and like get the job. This is like, I'm going to apply for a job and like 10 million other people are going to apply for it. And also I have to create my own work. And also I have to make sure that work is like good. And also, and also, and also.
And also. So you know how everyone is always exchanging their what is that called? The INFP, the ETN, ING, PQ, RS, that personality test. And I'm an INFP, whatever that means. And you know what? It should be included in that a past ruminator or a future ruminator.
That's true. That's so true. Because when you said what is something that you think about from the past, I literally, there's like maybe one thing that's too big to even talk about. But like, that's like really the only thing I could think of.
Yeah.
Everything else is like, I don't know, not a lot.
So I have a laundry list.
The future is a nightmare.
Of things in the past. Anyway, I didn't mean to derail you.
So the last step, but it's a really important one. Stop down and register when someone sees something good in you. If someone compliments you and says like, you did a great job on that thing, or you look great today, or I love this thing you do, you never judge me when I don't know a word or whatever, take that in and actually accept the compliment and add that to hard proof that you're not as awful of a person as you seem to think you are. Write it down. Yeah. Remember it. Internalize it.
Yeah. You know, I was watching a masterclass, and it kind of goes with this topic. I was watching a masterclass with Judy Blume. By the way, Bethany, I sent you my masterclass login if you want to.
Thank you.
It.
I saw it. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Judy Blume was talking about how she always was able to get inside of her head, but that fears, she also was the type of person where fears, her stories and her fears when she was a child, when she knew that she kind of wanted to be a writer, they controlled her life. Mm-hmm. And she said she would go to like a wall and you should have a tennis ball or something. And she would just stand outside doing this mindless activity, throwing the ball and making up the stories inside of her head. And eventually she realized that she was going to need to write these things down because she was never going to remember them. And so she has a box, which is like her idea box. And it's kind of the same thing as writing down nice things about yourself. Judy Blume has this idea box for future books. And she's never once opened that box and rummaged through those ideas to write a book. It's just the knowing the existence that that box is there, full of ideas that she came up with, is what keeps her writing and creating and driving and going forward.
That's her safety net.
It's her safety net.
She knows she'll never fail because she has this whole box full of ideas to catch her in case she has nothing.
She's creating that neuron connection between being afraid of not having ideas and then knowing that she's always going to have ideas. So if we write down compliments that people give us, whether we go back and look at them or not, it's creating that neuron connection inside of our brain that people have nice things to say about us.
Yes, there's proof in this box,
yes,
in this jar, whatever. There is hard proof that these things were said by someone. Yes. That's such a good idea. Mm-hmm. That's such a good idea. Okay, so we talked about how Danielle is the one who kind of approached this on our Facebook page. Yeah. So now that we've kind of gone through steps, these are what other people recommended. I handpicked a few of them that I thought were really like things I hadn't heard before and that I really liked. I'm just going to go by first initials. Yeah. So Jay said, since it's been so hard to be positive, my therapist and I instead are making a goal for neutrality. Mm. I love this because to me, mantras like, I am enough, blah, blah, blah. Like one on the back of my calendar right now says, you are enough 1,000 times enough, which is lovely.
Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love. Pray, love. But like one of them says, sunshine on my mind. That's going to do nothing for me. It's so corny. I'm going to roll my eyes and give up. I can do neutrality. I may not love my body, but my body is getting me from place A to place B.
Yeah.
You know?
Jameela Jamil talks about body neutrality. When you're, it's just a vehicle for your brain to explore cool new things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Jay said, the other day I was really frustrated with how my body looked. I wanted to say negative things. Instead, I just said, I can't find a pose in these clothes that I like. And I stopped taking pictures and I changed clothes. Or when I want to call myself lazy or disorganized, I reframe it as, wow, my executive dysfunction is really out there today. Reframe it.
Oh my God, I'm going to get that tattooed on my body.
Yeah. C said, I try to swap the word if for when. So like, if I'm ever successful, when I'm successful. Ooh. They said, it takes time. It's okay to slip, but you're making a conscious effort and you're being realistic.
Yeah.
D is a therapist. They said, it can be helpful to shift from labeling yourself as good or bad to more encouraging statements, like saying, I'm doing the best I can, or things aren't perfect, but I've noticed things have been going better. Hmm. Like I'm not at my goal weight or whatever, but I've noticed I'm working out more often.
Got it.
That's great.
Yeah.
M is the one who recommended the book Chatter.
Yeah.
Another M said, try stopping first. Tell yourself, no, that isn't true. Just shut yourself down.
Yeah.
And I like this one too. B said, they have clients who struggle with this and they say to give that voice a different name than yours. And so they use the example Karen because, you know, Karen. And then every time you hear that voice creeping in, you tell it off. You say, shut up, Karen. You don't even go here.
Like your shitty alter ego.
Yes, exactly. Ooh. Like find a name you hate.
Yeah.
Name that inner voice that name and then yell at it.
Okay, Bethany, what's your alter ego? Okay.
Because there was a girl in school named and she was so mean to me, like unnecessarily mean to me.
Apologies to anybody listening to this podcast who is named the names that we are choosing for ourselves.
Yeah. What about you? What's yours?
I'm going to call my alter ego Catalina.
Catalina.
Catalina. Shut up, Catalina.
Yeah, because if like in my world, if the real said these things to me, I'd punch her in the throat.
Yeah. Or Katie. Shut the fuck up, Katie. You don't belong here.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Kathy.
And then A said, I've started talking to my crappy inner voice. Like if my brain thinks, well, that was stupid, dummy. Now they hate you and everything is terrible, which by the way, is very funny if you say it out loud because that's really extreme. They said, I just noticed a thought and I say sometimes out loud, thanks brain, not helpful, try again. And it fucking works and it makes me laugh and I would recommend
it. I love that. Thanks brain, not helpful, try again.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that voice in your brain is the person who is not invited to the party but showed up anyway and is like, I don't like this food.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up. You weren't even invited here. Why are you complaining?
Thanks, brain.
Yeah.
You're wrong. Try again. This is a fun game show. I'm going to add sound effects to this. Brain, you are wrong.
Wrong. And then it's like, everyone goes,
boop, boop, boop. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
There used to be a ringtone. Beep, bop, boop. Shut the fuck up. Hey, Bethany.
Hey, Kathleen.
You know, your topic today about having faith in yourself really lends itself to this commercial.
It does.
When you put your mental and emotional health first, especially in uncertain times like the pandemic, it has a positive trickle-down effect of making everything else in your life better. Your relationships will get stronger, your self-worth grows, and then you win the lottery.
The first two, definitely. The third, maybe.
Okay. Gentle listener, Bethany and I have not been shy about talking about how much we love therapy.
Yeah.
It has changed my life. It has changed Bethany's life. And I'm here to tell you, when you sign up for Talkspace, it couldn't be easier.
With Talkspace Therapy, you can sign up online and start therapy the same day as you sign up. You can text, video, or send voice messages to your licensed therapist, so it's super convenient to have virtual sessions from the comfort of your home.
I love in-person therapy, but sometimes I feel like when I'm seeking out a therapist who can treat exactly what I need to be treated, it's very awkward because they're like, why are you coming in? And then you have to like write why you need to see them. Listen, Talkspace, when you go on the website and you sign up, there's a questionnaire that's like, what led you to seek help today? You don't have to write anything. You just choose it from the drop-down menu.
And if you're in an area where maybe your options for therapists aren't the biggest, like maybe you're not in a big city, maybe you're in a smaller town, there is a wide network of therapists for you via Talkspace. So if you have issues with anxiety or substance abuse or trauma, relationship issues, food, depression, so much more, Talkspace is a great option for really honing in on a therapist who is there for what you want to work on.
Yeah. Do you know you can also go to couples therapy on Talkspace? They have a specialist that is going to fit your needs, I guarantee.
And this is sensitive stuff you're talking talking about. So you can trust that Talkspace is secure. It's private. They're using the latest end-to-end bank-grade encryption technology to store client info, and they comply with the latest HIPAA regulations. So if the encryption they're using is good enough for your bank, it is good enough for your mother issues.
So as a listener of this podcast, you'll get $100 off of your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, all you have to do is go to Talkspace.com and then make sure you use the code TASTE to get $100 off of your first month and show your support for this show.
Again, go to Talkspace.com and then use the code TASTE. All right. So Kathleen, I want to expand a little bit on something else I learned during my research this week, which blew my mind.
Okay.
So when you think to yourself, do you hear your own voice talking?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I don't.
What?
And not everyone does.
Huh?
So back in February 2020, Kyle Plant Emoji on Twitter tweeted, fun fact, some people have an internal narrative and some don't. As in, some people's thoughts are like sentences they hear, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And some people just have abstract nonverbal thoughts and have to consciously verbalize them. And most people aren't aware of the other type of person. I've always thought that, like, in movies, when someone does, like, a voiceover of their thoughts, I always thought that was, like, an artistic representation of thinking. I didn't realize that people actually hear their own voices inside their head talking.
My mind is blown right now because, yes, of course I hear my own voice inside my head when I'm talking. I just don't see how you would hear any other voice.
So, like, if you wake up in the morning, you hear your own voice in your head going like, oh, I gotta wake up, gotta make coffee. It's like talking to you.
Yes, you don't?
That's so weird. No, I don't. I hear, like, my thoughts just come in sort of, like, the best way I can explain it is, like, if you poured ink on a table.
Yeah.
And then you put tissue paper over it, the ink would slowly, like, absorb to the top of the tissue paper, right? Like, kind of, that's how my thoughts form. Like, they all kind of come, just like they just appear as a whole thought that I just understand, but I don't hear it narrated. And I think that that's why I stammer so much when I speak, because I'm not trying it out in my head first. I just know the idea of what I want to say, and it doesn't come out until it comes out.
I'm sitting here, and I know this is a podcast and I'm supposed to make noise, but I'm sitting here with my mouth wide open because my mind is blown, like, quite literally.
Okay, so here's a couple of responses. One person said, you're telling me thinking isn't always just a silent conversation with yourself? Like, when someone thinks out loud on TV, some people just take that as a metaphor?
Yeah, no, that's how I think, yeah.
Yeah, I always thought it was a metaphor. Huh. And then another person said, my thoughts are definitely the abstract ones. If they contain words, it's more or less just fragments and not complete sentences until they're coming out. I think that's why I stumble. That's what they said too. I think it's why I stumble. My brain is always five levels ahead of what I'm actually saying.
See, sometimes I think I stumble because my thoughts in my head are faster than what my mouth can say.
So when you're speaking,
yeah,
are you basically repeating what your head is saying?
Yes.
Wow, that's so weird.
I mean, yeah, especially if someone is speaking for a while, you know, when we're podcasting and you're teaching me about something and I'm thinking of something to say next. Yes, my mouth says what my brain is said first.
So it's like you perpetually have, like,
an inner monologue, like in the movies.
You have, like, a Cyrano de Bergerac, like, standing behind a like, shrub whispering to you what to say.
Yeah. Like, for instance, and we woke up extra early to do this podcast today. I was supposed to meet you at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And my alarm all morning, it was just going off and I was just hitting snooze, snooze, snooze. And then I finally opened my eyes at 7:52, and in my head I heard, oh, fuck.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's wild.
Or in that situation, what would you hear?
I don't hear anything. It's like I feel fuck. Like, I think my internal monologue comes by way of either images or emotions. So, like, I feel the feeling of panic. I feel panicked, but I don't hear fuck. I see myself, like, scrambling. I can visualize the idea that I'm going to be scrambling, but I don't hear anything.
I wonder, okay, so I have ADHD. I've talked about it on the podcast before. I wonder if there's a difference between normal people's brains. Like experiencing thoughts, inner monologues like you. And then people on the ADHD spectrum, people like me who actually hear their thoughts.
It's fascinating because it wouldn't have even occurred to me to inquire about this, because you just assume that the way your brain works is normal until you find out that it's not. And this is obviously different than hearing voices that have to do with mental illness. This is just – and actually the reason that this came up is because I was having a conversation with someone where they were telling me this quote-unquote funny story about how this girl had gone to a psychiatrist saying, I think I have schizophrenia. I'm hearing a voice in my head. And the psychiatrist was like, well, what is the voice telling you? And she said, well, it's telling me my thoughts. And the psychiatrist was like, well, that's you. That's your those are your thoughts.
Yeah.
And I said to them, wait, what? So that's normal? You hear your thoughts? And the person was like, yes. That's the first time I ever realized that, no, that's not that's some people actually hear their thoughts. It never would have come up otherwise. It's so weird.
Now I have to sit down with all of my friends and have intimate conversations so I can put together the bigger puzzle of the world.
Yeah, who does it? It's so fascinating. And I don't know. I love finding out how people's brains work.
It's like that tree. It's like, do you have pointy ears? Do you have attached earlobes? Can you roll your tongue? Do you hear your thoughts? It should be on 23andMe.
I know. It's fascinating. And then because it also goes in with, I think about 6 months ago, I saw on Twitter something that blew my mind, which is someone was tweeting, if someone says, imagine an apple, what do you picture? And it showed four different apples. One was like a line drawing, black and white, of just like an outline of an apple.
Yeah.
One was sort of like a gray apple. One was like a cartoon apple. And one was like a photorealistic apple. And that was the first time it occurred to me that not everyone sees in their head the same way.
What do you think of when you think of an apple?
I see a photorealistic apple.
Yeah, so do I.
Right. Some people see like it in gray, or it's in black and white, or it's a very simple. Because it's like, I think it's whether you're a visual learner. So there's something called aphantasia.
Okay.
I think that's how you pronounce it. It's the inability to visualize mental images. So not being able to picture something in one's mind. Many people with this are also unable to recall sounds, smells, or sensations of touch. And some of those people also are people who can't recognize faces.
Oh.
I have a hard time recognizing faces, but it's not like complete facial blindness, but I don't have aphantasia. So it's so interesting.
I'm ready to switch careers. This is way more interesting than podcasting.
Fuck podcasting. We're going to go into the idea of thought.
This week, some news came out. There's a restaurant in Durham, North Carolina, and it has a podcast studio. So you can get a meal and you can record your podcast. I think it's a great idea.
Someone's going to have to edit out all your eating noises. Well,
it opens in late summer. It's going to be called Queenie's. And in Durham, it's distinguishing itself from other restaurants because it will include a soundproofed podcast studio that anyone can reserve for free.
Good for them. Oh, it's for free too. So it's not even like they're using it to make extra money.
Oh, you probably have to buy a meal.
Yeah, you have to buy a meal. That makes sense. That's cool. You know what? Diversify. That's what we learned this pandemic. Diversify.
Speaking of things that are new and cool, have you heard that the Powerpuff Girls are getting live action?
What?
Yes, I'm so excited. Weren't you a Powerpuff Girls fan?
I was a Powerpuff Girls fan. How are they going to make that live action?
It's going to be three women, human women, dressed as all the Powerpuff Girls. And people are upset because they don't think the costumes are that good. I think they're fine. They look exactly like they do in the cartoon. Why do they need to be fancy?
There's no way they look exactly like they do in the cartoons.
They do.
Their eyes are... Oh, I don't like this at all. Wait a
Scroll
minute.
Down. It's just little sheath dresses with like black belts. And that's all they wear in the cartoon anyway.
Yeah, but in the cartoon, their eyes are friggin' huge.
Well, yeah. Obviously, they're not going to have huge eyes. They're going to be normal humans.
I mean, okay.
I'm pumped.
All right.
Weren't you a Powerpuff Girls fan?
I was. Yeah. I was.
I have a blanket with the Powerpuff Girls on them.
I have stickers. I mean, the girls are cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the dress this one's wearing. Okay. All right. You know what? Okay. I'm going to see how I feel when it comes out. One of them appears to be holding a fishing rod, although I don't think that's a fishing rod.
It's coming to the CW.
Oh, great. Oh, okay. So it's a series. I wasn't sure if it was a movie. A series. That feels cool. I can get behind a series. Are they solving crimes?
I'm sure they are. I wonder who the daddy is. Remember?
Please don't call him daddy. I wonder who the daddy is.
wasn't he the daddy of all of them?
I think
I get it. I love that thing on TikTok where people are going around and trying to make other people uncomfortable. They're going, spank me, daddy.
I mean, if the Powerpuff Girls dad is played by Michael Sheen, then he is a daddy and he will be a daddy. I am all on board. Anytime my family and I have like a love of Michael Sheen, the actor. And so anytime one of them brings him up in a chat, which is oddly more often than you would think, I just send a picture of shirtless Michael Sheen from the Underworld movies where he's playing a werewolf. Because it's like the least Michael Sheen role ever. And everything else, he's like a foppish British cute man, but like he's a lichen. And he's like dirty and covered in motor oil.
There's something about a man covered in motor oil. I'm like, ooh, take a shower and then ravage me.
Yeah, exactly. Take a shower and then come and we can have dinner. Yes. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I learned that you should never drink a random seltzer that was left on your desk.
Uh-oh, what happened?
I thought it was just a day old. So I was like, I'm just going to finish this so nothing goes to waste. Well... It was one of those seltzers with the real fruit juice in it.
Yeah.
And I took a gulp and then I felt something slippery slip past my lips. And I looked down at the can and a layer of a mold must have been floating on the top. Lucky for me, didn't swallow.
Oh!
Not a quick swallower. It was still in my mouth. But it must have been a can of seltzer that was older than I thought because it had been there long enough to form mold on the top of the liquid.
Kathleen, did you throw up?
No, I just rinsed my mouth out.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm talking about? That slippery layer of mold on top of liquid?
I mean, I can imagine it for sure.
It was like I felt it slip on my lips and then it was half coming out of the can. And I was like, all right, not going to swallow.
Oh, my God. That's a nightmare.
Finish your cans of seltzer before you go to bed that night. Do a round around the house.
That's so awful. That's so gross. Oh, my
Bethany,
God.
What did you learn this week?
I learned if you love the soda Fresca, which I do, it reminds me of my childhood. I think Fresca has pulled a fast one on us, and I kind of applaud them for it.
Hard and fast?
Yes, because Fresca is like a grapefruit soda.
Yes.
Always has been.
Yeah.
I went to the bodega the other day, and I got a can of Fresca, and it said sparkling soda water.
Ooh.
Now, has it always said that, or have they rebranded because flavored sparkling water is such a thing right now?
Is Fresca sweet?
Yes. It's like grapefruity. It's very, very good.
So I wonder what the sugar content is in it. Because maybe it qualifies as sparkling water and not soda.
Because there's no calories, I don't think.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's diet.
It's diet, but it doesn't say diet. It's always been, from my memory, it's always been zero calories, but I don't remember it being listed as a soda water, sparkling soda water. I remember it being listed as like a grapefruit
soda. So it rebranded.
It rebranded, but it's exactly the same. It tastes exactly the same. So if they did just rebrand to sparkling soda water with some grapefruit in it, well done.
Well done.
I mean, but I was like, oh, I see what you did there, Fresca. Okay. Yeah.
That's really weird that we both were talking about, because mine was the grapefruit seltzer too. That's really weird.
Huh. Our learning cycles are synced. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I'm Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter. You can also follow our podcast on social media.
We are at Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
At Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
Acquired Taste Podcast on Facebook. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
You can send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And we also have a voicemail line. You can text us, you can leave voicemails, and our phone number is 917-994-0353.
Make sure to join our Patreon. Twice a month, Kathleen and I do live shows. We just did one yesterday as we record this. And if you are a Patreon member and you are at the $5 a month level, and you're not able to come to the live show, we post those videos on the Patreon feed after the fact. You can find us at patreon.com/acquiredtaste.
And wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best, helps us move up in the ranks. Thank you.
Our podcast is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on social media at Shargar on Twitter, at @lit_fuck on Instagram.
If you're watching any of our videos on social, they're edited by the fabulous Dennis Callow, and you can follow him at Dennis Callow, C-A-H-L-O.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath and taste buds. Here is what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is taste bud Katie from Queens, New York. I am calling to first let you know that I have officially saved this taste bud hotline in my phone. Very exciting stuff. So probably more calls in the future. And two, I had to stop Wednesday, April 7th. Wow, look at me all official. Podcast real quick because Bethany's singing the theme song to Beauty and the Beast. That was a whole bop. I had me bopping around in my chair and really turned my mood around. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. And you know, I feel great about taking on the rest of my day. You guys are the best. Thank you for everything. Talk to you soon. Bye. Love everyone.
Hi, ladies. This is Taste Bud Clairby, and I just wanted to let you ladies know that you can get lynda.com through your library card. So if you have a library card, you should be able to sign up every time. You have to go through the library's portal every time. But if you Google it, it's a thing. And if you have a library card, you can just use lynda.com for free. So cancel that, Kathleen. And then secondly, if you had... Well, you said you got rid of LinkedIn Premium, but if you still had it, LinkedIn Premium has LinkedIn Learning, which is basically lynda.com. It's the same thing. So you're just paying double for that. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that if you pay for Spotify, you get Hulu free. That's what my sister does. So don't pay for Hulu if you have Spotify. So that makes one less thing for you to have there. And I feel like I'm on this journey with you for saving money because I'm planning on building a tiny house for myself, and I feel like that already makes you eliminate a lot of money, tiny house on wheels. I don't know, your house doesn't sound like a tiny, tiny house, a tiny apartment, but I'm very excited for you, and I hope you got both are, like, doing well, and I love you both, and yeah.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Nicole. I was just calling because I'm currently catching up on all the podcast episodes. I was just listening to episode 273. I'm way behind because when the pandemic started, I wasn't commuting anymore, and then it bled into my maternity leave, so I'm finally trying to catch up again. But I was listening to episode 273, and you guys were talking about different recipes and how you have to scroll through all this nonsense. Well, I just learned on TikTok the other day that there's a website. It's called justtherecipe.app. And on that website, you can paste the link to the recipe you're trying to look for, and it'll read the recipe and then show you exactly what you need so you don't have to scroll through the person's whole life story. So just figured I would share that tip with you and the taste buds because I think it is amazing because I really hate scrolling through the whole life story just to find a recipe too.
Hello, ladies and fellow taste buds. My name is Ashley Anderson. I'm from California, and I'm a special education teacher. And there's something I wanted to share that I've been struggling with, and that, you know, kind of the negative view and the shame and the guilt that comes along for teachers when they're what is called non-reelected or not offered another position or a contract for the next year. You know, in our society, all we ever hear about when a teacher loses their job or isn't welcomed back is we hear about teachers who are drunk on the job or the teachers who were molesting students or embezzling money. Usually it's molestation, which is terrible. we don't hear about the teachers who are fighting, who are speaking up, who want better rights for our families and for our students. And this has caused a lot of grief and shame and embarrassment in my life because over 10 years, I've dealt with this several times now. And you can talk to any other teacher, any student I've worked with, any parent I've worked with. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad teacher. I've never hurt anyone. I would never hurt anyone. But I stand up and I fight for our families and our kids. And districts don't like that. I think this is something I'm reaching out to other podcasts. I'm trying to get the guts to write something and put it on even Reddit. But this is something that needs to be talked about. There needs to be more transparency and understanding because we're human. And we have no protection. Even though we have teachers unions, if you do not have tenure, you have no protection. You mean nothing. And it's terrible.
Hello, my name is Kelly. I just wanted to share something that I experienced in my life based on what I've heard from your previous podcast. So I grew up in an area that was mostly Asian. I would have to say, yes, it would be like an Asian community, and I'm Caucasian. So my school was mostly, I would have to say, 80% Asian. So all my friends were pretty much Asian. And being friends with them, you know, I was introduced to their homes and their moms and their dads and their traditions and cultures, and I fell in love with it. I loved it so much that I kind of adapted into my own family. My family welcomed it with open arms. And so when I meet new people and they see certain things I have in my home, maybe some special furniture or decor that pretty much screams like Asian, they're like, well, you're not Asian. I'm like, I don't need to be Asian to appreciate their culture. And that is something I wish we could also teach our children, or parents could teach their children, is that you don't need to be Asian to appreciate their culture. You don't need to be African American to appreciate their culture. If their culture strikes a chord with you, then, you know, there's nothing wrong with appreciating it. And that's a lesson that I wanted to share. That's all.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. This is State Taste Bud Steph. I just listened to the latest podcast, and I'm just going to say I'm so glad I waited till it was late at work and nobody else was there, because I found myself crying, and I don't even know why. I'm not usually a crier. I'm just hearing you read my email out loud, just, I don't know. It's something I guess I've been processing more so in the last less than a year, that all of those feelings and realizations have really come to my mind and even noticed and said, listened to. But I'm so happy and to hear these stories, and that everybody's trying to do their best to actually to make a difference and to just be aware. And on a side note, I guess it's the same. Yesterday for Easter, my family got together. Now it was only the Caucasian side of my family, but a new Filipino bakery actually opened up in town, and we grabbed a bunch of different desserts. And even some of the picky eaters of my white half of my family were enjoying the desserts. And it just, I don't know, it weirdly felt good as being the only person in that side of my family that is part Asian or part anything else. So thank you again so much for reading my email. I hope it helps people. But I love you, ladies, and I can't wait to hear more podcasts and everything. Bye.
COVID Clinic tests everyone. We're best at providing incredible testing that's run by a physician and administered by a healthcare professional. There was a huge need for groups. Employers started sending their people over. So I started saying, if they can't get appointments at the sites and we need more locations, why don't we just go to them? I can go in and I can assess what's happening. There's so many industries that have been impacted, and let's get all that back. COVID Clinic's mission is testing for all. If you need testing, you can get testing. If you need answers, you can get answers.
We've been married 11 years now.
When it came to extending our living space to the outdoors, compromise wasn't an option.
TimberTech presents another deck declaration.
We're Jim and Jody Brandley from Coral Gables, Florida, and I wanted a deck that lasts a lifetime.
I wanted something that looks great.
With TimberTech, neither one of us had to compromise. It comes with a 50-year warranty.
Yeah, and it looks amazingly like real wood. It's so beautiful.
So we both win.
Well, this time.
TimberTech. Go against the grain.